I've heard many times, actually, that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and the Holy Spirit won't, you know, won't get in your way or won't whatever. And I laugh because I believed it for a long time. And then I read the story of the Apostle Paul before he was an apostle and how he was knocked down and struck blind by the Holy Spirit. That doesn't sound like a gentlemanly thing to do. Most times I do think it's more gentle than that, but just be open to whatever God wants to do in your heart today and in your mind. I believe there's something that needs to be accomplished in here that's deep today. So we're going to finish wrap up our series today on a season for everything. And I'm calling today's message, Light in the Darkness. Light in the Darkness. I've talked to several of you in the last half an hour, well, hour and a half. I guess I've been here a couple hours maybe. And some of you had rough weeks. You had a rough week. And I thought, wow, I don't know. Like, and then it was like God chuckled and said, Sandy, why do you think I gave you the message, Light in the Darkness? Because it's been kind of a dark week for some people. So sometimes you have to really experience some darkness to fully appreciate the light. Have you ever had your power go out and you keep turning on the light and nothing happens? You know, you keep flipping the switch and you're like, oh yeah, no power. And then when it does come back on, it seems so bright. So today we're going to talk about seasons of darkness and how you find the light. Well, because it's Family Worship Sunday, I always try to have something that appeals to the kids, and the adults like it as much as the kids do, I think. So I wanted to imagine what it would look like if we personified, big word, personified darkness and light. What would darkness say to us and what would light say to us so that we can identify one from the other? Because in my experience, darkness has a voice. Darkness definitely has a voice. And light has a voice. I had fun making those. It was like throwback to when I taught school. I'm playing in my living room with construction paper and, you know, and fun hair. Like, and thankfully, you know, when I went to Dollar Tree, because Halloween is coming, I found the giant eyes there at Dollar Tree. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty perfect. So we're going to look at four different questions today and how darkness might answer those questions and how light might answer those questions. And I know it seems silly, but sometimes when you see this, it helps you remember if you can attach a visual to it. So that's what we're going to do today. And we're going to have the youth and or kids helping because they're going to tell us what each of them is saying, which I have prompts for you. So all you got to do is read the paper. And then if you read the paper, you get a ring pop. So, you know, got to have fun with that. Ring pop. Some of the kids really like ring pops. The first question I want to look at today and figure out what darkness might say and what light might say in response to that question is, who defines love? I feel like there's a battle in our culture right now to answer this question. Who defines love? Who says what love is? I can love anybody I want. What business is it of yours who I love? That's true. But as believers, we decide to follow God and His definition of love, not our own definition of love. So who's my first volunteer today who wants to read? Probably needs to be able to read pretty good words, big words.
Okay.
You think you can handle this, Lily? Okay. Lily, come and read what darkness might say as to who, you can hold it, as to who defines love.
individuals define love. If you love someone, you will do what he or she wants you to do.
Very good reading. That was a difficult word. Hey, get your ring pop if you want it. Individuals define love. That's what darkness says. And the challenge with that is that if an individual defines love, then they can say to you, if you really love me, you will do this. If you really love me, the only way I feel loved is if you do this. Now, youth, you better know what I'm talking about. We have kids in here, so I'm not going to get too graphic, but I hope you understand what I'm saying here. Read between the lines. Individuals, darkness says, individuals define love, and then those individuals get to say, if you love me, you'll do this. If you really love me, this is what it will look like, okay? Now, what does light say about love? Next volunteer. Okay, Miles, come on up. What does light say? I really wanted to do a little paper towel holder back here that would spit out every word. That was just more than I wanted to put time-wise. Okay, what does light say about love?
God is love, so he gets to define it.
Very good. Grab a ring pop. God is love, so he gets to define it. God is love, so he gets to define it. We all need to be aware of who is defining love in our mind and in our heart, because I'm convinced that culture is trying to redo that right now. And that's fine for them. Listen, it's whatever. That's if that's their choice, right? But as for me in my house, as for me, I'm going to let God define love because he is the one who is love. So what does the Bible say about it? 1 John 4:10 in the International Children's Bible says, true love is God's love for us, not our love for God. Can you say amen to that? Because my love goes all over the place. If I was defining love, and if love was based on my definition, it would be a mishmash of up and down roller coaster. But God's love is not the same as that. God, true love is God's love for us, not our love for God. I want to love God. God sent his son to die in our place to take away our sins. And then 1 John 4:16, same chapter. Says this, and so we know the love that God has for us, and we trust that love. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. Of course, many of you know 1 Corinthians 13. We're not going to read it all today, but it's the love is passage. Love is what? What's the first one? Patient. Oh, you understand that when we let God define love, we are telling him it's okay to correct us when we need it. To make some adjustments in our heart when our love gets off. And when we hear the phrase, love is patient, you understand that that means something that is irritating you that requires patience. It's not this ushy-gushy thing to be only read at weddings. Love is patient, right? Well, when that comes into your head and you say, okay, God defines love in my life and love is patient, what you need to understand is that maybe God's going to allow something to irritate the heck out of you so that you can practice patience. I have an 89-year-old aunt who lives in a residential assisted living facility, and she is a pistol. She is a pistol. And one time, she got irritated with the person who came in to help her get ready for breakfast because she was running a little late, and she likes her coffee and her breakfast at a certain time, you know. And so when the person came in, and she made a big fuss about it, and the person went out, and then my mom went to visit her, and she said, "So how are you doing today?" And she said, "Well, I'm mad because blah, blah, blah." And she kind of went off on this girl, and my mom said, "Well, maybe you need to practice your patience." And she goes, "Oh, okay." So the next morning, the worker came in to help her, and my aunt's laying there in bed just like this, not saying a word. And the girl goes, "Well, Miss Lib, what are you doing there?" She goes, "I'm practicing my patience." And sometimes when I get all irritated, I remember that, and I think of my Aunt Lib's laying there in her bed going, "I'm practicing my patience." Right? Because love is patient. God's love is patient. I believe 1 Corinthians 13 was not meant to make us feel like failures. I think it was meant to show us how beautiful and expansive God's love is and how perfect it is. So that when I'm not living up to that, I go, "Oh yeah, I'm human. I make mistakes. I don't know what's wrong with this mic. It's popping a lot. Do I have it too close? No? Okay, I'm going to take off my earring, make sure that's not it." When we find ourselves not being as good as God is in his love, then it's a holy invitation for us to say, "Okay, God, I need more of your love in my heart. I need more." When it says love is kind, you understand that means someone's being unkind to you. And we get to show them a different way. Love is not this sweet little blob of nothingness that says, "Oh, you do you, honey. It's okay. You do you. You do you." No, if you love me and I'm doing something that I say is me, but it brings more darkness into my life, I hope you love me enough to say, "No, don't do you, do him." I mean, love is not soft and passive. It's strong and hard, but it's also seeking the best interest of the other party. That's what God does. That's what he shows us. So how do we get this love? That's the second question. How do we get this love? Okay, need another volunteer to tell us what darkness says about how we get the love. Someone who hasn't. Okay, Noah. Here's what darkness says. Okay.
You are not good enough for love. Do better.
Oh, good job. Good job. You are not good enough for love. Do better. One of my pet peeves is the whole hashtag do better thing on social media. Ah. And I may have even done it at some point. But you understand what that saying is, you're not good enough, do better. And then really what that saying is, be more like me. Adapt to my way of thinking. Doesn't that go back to, if you love me, you'll do what I say? It goes right back to that. That's what darkness says. You are not good enough for love, do better. Do more. Do better, do more. Right? What does light say to that question? Okay, adults or teens, you can. Okay, Isaac, thank you. Come and tell us what light says to the question. How do we get love?
You are already loved. Just accept it.
Ah, good job. You are already loved. There's no getting it. You are already loved. Just accept it. And it's hard to do that sometimes. Imagine for a moment, this entire stage is covered with the most delicious food you can imagine. Every single person's favorite food is up there. There are even some foods up there that you've never heard of, but it is going to become your new favorite. Right? The whole stage, the drum cage, everything is covered with food. It's this massive banquet. And then God says, hey, come and eat. You don't have to buy it. Just come and eat. And here's your response. If I can get it open. No, I'm good. I have a cracker. I'm good. I'm good. I bought my cracker. I don't need all that banquet up there with steaks even better than Willie makes. I know, it's hard to imagine, but it's God's banquet, so. And all the sweets that don't make you fat. Like, yeah. No, I'm good. I'll have a cracker, thanks. I'm good. That's what we do. That's exactly what we do. Or we say this, if I come and eat, what do I owe you? And God's like, no, you could never pay me enough for all of this. Nope, just come and eat. And you go, well, it smells delicious. Looks amazing. Anybody getting hungry? Mm-hmm. But I don't deserve this much, so I'll just munch on my cracker over in the corner. You see, we were created, you were created with a heart that burns for the love of God. You were created for a heart that craves, that craves the love of God. And instead of saying yes, we try to just satisfy our own cravings. Or we try to work our way in. Okay, I'll come and have this wonderful meal, and then I'll clean the whole church so Mitch doesn't have to this week. And I'll do the carpets and the chairs, and God's like, no, that's not how it works. We don't get love by doing better. We don't get love by paying for it. We don't get love in any other way except acknowledging that we need love and saying yes to it. I believe that we spend our entire lives, even after I'm a believer, I still find myself trying to satisfy the craving for God's love, the burning for God's love in a lesser way. Instead of just coming to God and going, okay, God, I see my need for your love again. Can I eat? Can I drink freely of your love? We have hearts that crave that, that burn for that. The thing is, are you willing to stop trying to fill your own love tank? I believe that some people get married looking for that person to fill their love tank. Listen, I love marriage. I have great respect for marriage. I love the people who are in this room who have shown us what godly marriage looks like. I respect it so much. But no one, not even your spouse, can be your rock. He is the rock. No one, not even your spouse, can fill the most empty, deep places of your heart. Only God can do that. Are you willing to enjoy the meal without trying to pay for it? Are you willing to try new foods that might actually become your new favorite? Some of us are like, no, we're good. This is how we like to do church. This is safe. Don't ask me to come to the front. That's too much. Don't ask me to kneel. Don't ask me to shout. Just keep it like this and I'm good. And God says, well, I love you right where you are, but there's all these other foods over here I would love for you to try, because that one right there you are going to go crazy for if you're willing to try it. You're going to absolutely, it's going to meet something in your heart that nothing else has been able to meet. But it goes back to what I said at the beginning. Only the Spirit can fill you. Not their music, not my words, not my props. Only the Spirit can fill you. Ephesians 3:18 and 19 says, and I pray that you and all of God's holy people have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love. I pray that you can understand how wide and how long and how high and how deep that love is. Christ's love is greater than any person can ever know, but I pray that you will be able to know that love. Then you can be filled with the fullness. Wow, the fullness of God. Come and eat. Come and eat of his love. Though it's too broad and high and long for us to really comprehend it, but keep trying. That's the beautiful awe of God at work. That's the wonder of God. So the first two questions had to do with the basis of love. The last two questions have to do with what might try to block you from coming to God's love. I see them this way. It's like you come in this back door over here, and you see the banquet spread out on the stage, and you go, woo, we're going to eat today, right? And you come, and you start walking towards it. Willie, stand up. And something blocks you from getting to it. And you're like, ugh, I really want to get over there. And he's like, nope, not going to happen. Thank you. Not going to happen. These last two questions deal with things that might block us from getting to the banquet of God's love, okay? So buckle up and be willing to authentically challenge your own thinking. I can't do that. You can only do that. In fact, these two questions may cause you to go back in time a little bit and reevaluate your own conclusions in light of light, not darkness, because they both have a voice. The third question is, why are there wounds and pain? Okay, another volunteer, please. Why are there wounds and pain? Someone who hasn't volunteered yet. Okay, Kathy, thank you. Why are there wounds and pain? Did your son share the chocolate with you from last week? Yes, sir. Okay, come and get what darkness might say to why are there wounds and pain. There you go.
Because God doesn't love you enough to be involved.
Thank you. That's what darkness says. God doesn't love you enough to be involved. Oh, I'm telling you. There's somebody in this room who has rehearsed that line so many times in your mind, you actually believe it. And God in his kindness wants to break that lie down today. Oh, it's really strong. God, that's what darkness says. God doesn't love you enough to be involved. What does light say? Melody, can you help me? What does light say?
God loves you so much that he is involved in every detail. He is with you in the middle of the wound and pain.
Thank you. God loves you so much. Notice that light doesn't try to answer the question, why? We would never be able to comprehend it anyway. Light just says, listen, God loves you so much. He is with you. He is involved in every detail of the wound and pain. He's right there in the middle of it with you. I don't know if you missed the pre-service video or not, but it talked about how, hallelujah, we are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. God really loves us. God really loves us. Challenge your interpretation of past events. Go back to that past event that you've recorded in your mind over and over. God doesn't love me enough, or he wouldn't have let that happen, and challenge it. And say, no, God loves me. I don't know why this happened, but he was with me in the middle of the gore. He was with me in the middle of the weeping. He was with me in the middle of the worst pain of my life. I don't understand it, but I will surrender to his love and challenge my thinking on it. Lamentations 3:19 to 3:24 says this, Lord, remember my suffering and how I have no home. Remember the misery and suffering. I love that the author does not pull any punches. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. No, he's like, this is hard. Then he says, I remember them well and I am very sad. But I have a hope when I think of this. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop. They are new every morning. Lord, your loyalty is great. I say to myself, the Lord is what I have left. So I have hope. The Lord is what I have left. So I have hope. I don't think that removes the misery and suffering. I think that just gives you something higher to hold on to in the middle of it. Last question. Why didn't God stop it from happening? Most of us have an it. Most of us have more than one it, but most of us have one big it. Why didn't God stop it from happening? Betty, you want to help me out? What does darkness say to the question, why didn't God stop it from happening? I won't make you come the whole way.
Because God isn't powerful enough to do anything about it, or because God thinks you deserve it.
You know better. Okay, we can all go boo, 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 and I do. But have you ever heard that in your head? I have. Probably the second one more than the first one. I think I've always accepted that God is powerful enough to do something about it, but even there's some pain in that. Because if God is powerful enough and he still didn't do anything about it, what does that make him? Right? But I've heard the second one more than that. God thinks you deserved it. It's not true. That's what darkness says. That is not what God says. And that is not what light says. Okay, our last one. Any volunteers or should I draft someone? How about Heather, Miss Heather, our children's director? So, why didn't God stop it from happening?
God will heal you. Someday he will use every tear shed to grow your understanding of and capacity for his love.
Thank you. Yeah, That's hard, yeah. God, again, light doesn't try to answer the question. Instead, light says, God will heal you. And not only that, he will use every tear you have shed to increase your understanding, to grow your understanding of his love and your capacity to give that love to someone else. Both. Because when God does something, he does it big. He doesn't do it half-heartedly. He does it big. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the Father who is full of mercy, or as Dave would say it, full of mercy. And he is the God of all comfort. He comforts us every time we have trouble. Part of the time? No. Every time we have trouble. What about if it's trouble you brought on yourself? He still comforts us. What? It's called grace and mercy. Well, you got to live with the consequences. You did it to yourself. You just got to... No, God comforts us in all of it so that we can comfort others when they have trouble. We can comfort them with the same comfort that God gives us. We share in the many sufferings of Christ. In the same way, much comfort comes to us through Christ. If we have troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. Okay. Think of the it that you've asked. Why didn't God stop it from happening? And now be open to the possibility God wants to use the it to grow your understanding of his love and your ability to love others bigger and better because of it. If we have comfort, then you also have comfort. This helps you to accept patiently the same sufferings that we have. Our hope for you is strong. We know that you share in our sufferings, so we know that you also share in the comfort we receive. That doesn't make any of the hard times. It doesn't make any of the suffering go away. It just gives it a purpose. It gives it redemption. I love that God will not waste any pain. He will use it for your good and for the good of those around you. My capacity for compassion went through the roof when I went through some bad suffering. I'm not saying I was cold before then. I'm saying I learned to feel what people feel when they're suffering because I remembered what it's like to suffer. So do you want a cracker you found or you made? Or do you want a feast that will bring immense satisfaction and at the same time create a hunger in your heart for nothing less? Because once you've tasted the love of God, everything else tastes worse than a cracker. Tastes like paper. Everything. Whew. Just close your eyes for a moment and try to be real still for a moment. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, comforter and friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain. Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Oh. Let your power fall and do what my words can't do. Let your voice be heard. Holy Spirit, rain down on us right now. Rain down on us. Rain into us. Let us hear your light. Let us hear the voice of your light coming into a situation that has always been permeated with darkness. We say yes. Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. I pray that our love would look more like yours every day. I pray that you would reveal to us in the deepest recesses of our minds and hearts how wide and how long and how high and how deep your love really is, even though it's so big we'll never comprehend it. We want to keep trying. Baptize people in your love right now in this moment in a way that they never hunger for anything else except your love. In the way that I will never hunger for anything else than your love. That we won't let any lesser thing try to come in and block us or try to satisfy us. Because we know that only your love can really satisfy. And I pray for anyone who's had a difficult week. God, I thank you that this message was designed for them and for me who've had a challenging time this week. But God, you always bring light in the darkness. You don't leave us to flounder alone. Hallelujah. We are not alone. You really love us. You really love us. So help us to know that and be confident in it as we go about the rest of our week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Really wish I had real props of the feast. That would be fun. So next week, we're going to start a new message series called Worship. Dave's going to kick it off with a message he's calling, Come, Let Us Reason Together. Come, let us reason, or let's reason together. I'm not sure which it is, but it's something like that. Close. So I hope you enjoy some coffee and bagels. Thanks for coming. If you need prayer, come up and ask, and I'll pray with you. Or Ken will, or Dave will, or somebody will. We'll pray, okay? Love you guys.